Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St. Albans and from further afield. Now, aircraft topic is one that we return to again and again on Environment Matters. But whatever aircraft levels there are now look likely to get a whole lot worse with the recent announcement that London Luton Airport is planning an enormous expansion in passenger numbers in the period to 2050. I spoke to Luton Airport Chief Operations Officer Robin Porter to find out exactly what they have planned. Robin, thank you very much indeed for joining me. So perhaps you could explain that the kind of increases that you're proposing in passenger levels at Luton Airport by perhaps just mentioning what the levels are at the moment and what you're planning on expanding them to.
Of course, Amanda. So our passenger numbers are just shy of 60 million this year. We're expecting to be at 80 million by 2020/2021. And the proposal that we've launched last week is to see us optimise the runway at Luton, and we believe that the ultimate capacity of the single runway at Luton is somewhere between 36 and 38 million passengers per year.
Okay, so at one point there was a suggestion there might be a new runway. You're sticking with this one, and this is you're just making the maximum use of that.
Absolutely. We are proposing no changes at all to the runway, its configuration. We are not proposing to amend its length, and we're definitely not proposing a second runway.
Okay. So perhaps just to allow people to sort of understand the difference that might make, what difference might that make to, for instance, the number of flights per minute or per hour? I don't know how you measure them.
Well, if we think about the number of flights per year, in 2017, we're expecting something in the order of 135,000 movements in the year. And this proposal would take us up to about 240,000 movements a year.
Right. Okay.
And obviously, that's over the long term. We wouldn't be expecting to hit that figure until into the 2040s.
Yes, this is planning a fair amount of time ahead.
And when
we're thinking about the kind of routes that the planes will take, will they all be making the same flight paths as they are now?
Well, currently, NATS, which is the national body that looks after airspace, is undertaking a consultation. We've been part of that, responding to that consultation. Because we do firmly believe that that you can make better use of the airspace around London, and also increase the capacity of the London system whilst reducing the impacts on communities, largely by getting planes higher quicker.
Right, so roughly the same flight paths, but so that the noise impact isn't so great, presumably, getting to a greater altitude so that the noise impact is less. Is that right?
Definitely getting higher quicker. With regards to the flight paths, they are constantly evolving to try and ensure that we impact our local community as little as possible.
Okay. So thinking about the other kind of environmental impacts, the UK is under obligations as far as things like CO2 emissions go. What can you do to address the climate change impact of this increase in air traffic?
Well, we absolutely acknowledge that climate change is a real and present issue, and that we've got a significant influence over the activities at the airport that contribute to that, such as emissions from aircraft, vehicle trips, and those associated with the activities of other companies operating from the airport. But as part of our commitment to reducing those impacts, what we're going to start doing from next year is monitoring a full range of environmental and air quality impacts. We're going to go further with regards to our monitoring than any other airport in the country as part of a real demonstration that we really do mean business. In addition, we have very recently signed the contracts for our new direct air rail transit system. That's the Luton Dart that's going to take passengers from Luton Airport Parkway up to the terminal. That's a £225 million project, which will do away with the current bus service. And a real part of our focus around that project is trying to achieve a modal shift, increasing the number of passengers that turn up at London Luton Airport by rail rather than turning up by car.
Okay. So just thinking about the sort of process by which this expansion will be made and the things that will happen before that, will there be a planning process? Will there perhaps be an inquiry?
Well, we're currently going through the process of working up our master plan. What we launched last week was our vision for optimising the single runway at Luton. That vision is in response to the government's emerging aviation strategy, which calls on airports to optimise the infrastructure that they've got. If, as we go through the process of developing our master plan, it becomes apparent that the expansion will be over 10 million passengers, which it's looking likely it will be, then we'll go through a national planning process called a development consent order. Now, this is it's quite a long process, can take between 4 and 5 years, and is administered nationally by the Planning Infrastructure Body, and then ultimately is presided over by the Secretary of State. So it is quite a long process that will be completely and utterly independent of Luton Council as the local planning body.
Right, I see. And will there be a chance for people who have concerns about the increase to have their say?
Absolutely. We're welcoming comments back on our vision today. And then as we start to develop the master plan through 2018, we will be very open and transparent about that process. We're expecting to be able to publish the draft master plan in the summer of next year, and absolutely we'll be wanting to take all comments that people want to make.
Lovely. Robin Porter, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
I was talking there to Robin Porter, who is the Chief Operations Officer for Luton Airport. So I discussed the announcement with Sharon Hollingsworth from the campaign group St Albans Quieter Skies. Sharon, thank you very much indeed for joining me. So you've just heard what Robin Porter had to say. What are your concerns? I mean, the figures are looking forward to 2050. So he says that actually Luton won't be meeting the 38 million passenger level until, well, probably the 2040s.
Well, if you just look at their last bout of expansion, they were supposed to reach their targets by 18 million by 2028, as Robin said. They'll be reaching that in 2020. When they submitted their application, there was supposed to be a linear plot of expansion. And the time allowed was in order to get some modernisation of airspace, yeah, and to introduce newer, quieter planes. Now, because their expansions happened so rapidly, there is no modernisation of airspace, and they have currently two quiet planes in their fleet. So to alleviate the problems that they're causing for the people on the ground, they've done absolutely nothing. And now they're proposing to expand even further. And right, we know that they will be expanding an awful lot quicker than they say.
Okay.
Even in that chat then he's come up with a figure of the numbers being reached in the 2040s, not the 2050s. So
yeah.
I just think that they're going to pull out all the stops to expand as quickly as possible.
Okay. Now, I mean, there obviously will be more flights. We could probably have guessed that anyway. But, you know, as you said, they're doing what they can to reduce the impact, flying higher, quicker, for example. Are you not reassured by that?
Not in the slightest. I live right under the flight path They're constantly saying the flights are, on average, over 6,000 feet, and they're not. The flights are around 5,000 feet every day. They start at 6 in the morning. They don't finish till midnight. The flights sometimes go on through the night with the cargo flights. It's horrendous, and they are... They tell us they are trying to get the flights higher. They're trying to get them to 10,000 feet. But what is needed is a complete overhaul of airspace. And that is not going to happen in the next few years.
OK. And how about the hours of flying? You've said at the minute that you're disturbed by planes in the, small hours of the morning. Do you have concerns as far as that goes?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't see how they can expand to the levels they're proposing to during the current hours of operation. The flight, they would be flying every 2 minutes or less. I mean, they would have to expand into the night, and that will be a real issue for everybody living in the St Albans area.
Yes, indeed. Okay. Obviously, the noise is a big issue for the St Albans area, but just thinking sort of about the more direct impacts. Now, we heard that there's going to be a new train to take us to the airport. Do you think that will work as far as sort of reducing the local impact of the airport has?
Well, I personally don't get the train, but I hear everybody that commutes complaining about how rammed they are, and I don't see how this is going to make anything better. That there are currently only 16% of people using trains to get to Luton Airport. Now, obviously, that's going to increase. So it's already having a huge... It's having an impact on the trains, and the impact will only become greater.
Yes.
And the motorways, how you can get that many people to Luton Airport is beyond me, without causing absolute chaos.
Yes, indeed. There's going to have to be some serious thinking there, isn't there, as you say? Mm. Now, one thing that Robin Porter did say, he said that there will be a consultation process and that we're all going to have our chance to have our say. I mean, surely that must be a bit of a comfort.
I would say in no shape or form, really. I live in Sandridge, and there was apparently a consultation process before they brought in Arnav. I was completely
unaware. Sorry, Arnav is...
Sorry, the... basically, 2 years ago, they brought in a system where they narrowed the flight path. So the flights follow a narrow tract which goes along North St Albans over Sandridge and goes round. They're generally the flights to Eastern Europe. So every single flight will go directly over my head going in that direction. So it has increased the number of flights enormously.
Yes.
There was a consultation process and people voted for it thinking that it was moving the flights away from St Albans over Sandridge. So people that were troubled by the flights in St Albans said, yes, that's a good idea. Those people in Sandridge were told, don't worry, you won't notice any difference because you're already under the flight path. Clearly, we have noticed a difference. And as far as the consultation process, barely anybody complained because they didn't know there would be this problem.
Right.
So a consultation process only works if people are aware of it and can contribute to it.
Okay, so you'd say actually that that in the past the consultation process hasn't been widely advertised enough, so actually the results of it haven't truly reflected what the general population thinks.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, local MPs have come out and said things on this. Have you been supported by Anne Main in your quest?
Yes, we have actually. Anne Main and Bim Afamoli have been very supportive. They've written to Luton Airport expressing their concerns, and they're also liaising with Sajid Javid, Minister for Communities and Local Government. They've been liaising with him as well, so they have been quite supportive. But again, Luton Airport, what they say to the MPs and what they actually do, who knows what, you know.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I suppose one of the points is that if there's going to be more people living locally, more people will want to fly. Isn't it just inevitable that Luton Airport is going to expand? What's the alternative?
I mean, I have no problems with people flying. I have no problems with the airport. What I do have a problem with is expanding the airport before they're ready. They haven't resolved the issues that they currently have, and they're just planning. They're just playing ahead with it, putting profits before people.
Okay. Now, listeners might be concerned. What can they do if, like you, they have concerns about this?
Well, we set up STACS, which is St Albans Quieter Skies, basically brought about because of this problem. If they'd like to get in touch with us, they can join us on it is www.stacks.uk, and we are we're campaigning quite hard to try and stop this and to make Luton think good and hard about whether this expansion is necessary.
Sharon, thank you very much indeed for joining me.
Thank you.
I was talking there to Sharon Hollingsworth of St Albans Quieter Skies. And do take a look at the environment page of the Radio Verulam website, that's radioverulam.com, for all the information from today's show. Now, if you're looking for a way for children to work off some post-Christmas excitement, then why not get down to the Wick on the 27th, the day after Boxing Day, for the Woodland Trust St Albans local supporters group Santa Hunt. It costs just 50p to enter, for which you collect 5 seasonal tokens from around the Wick and exchange them in the words of the supporters group for a modest chocky treat. And you can take part between 10 and 12. So that's between 10 and 12 at the Wick on the day after Boxing Day. Or still on the 27th, if you fancy something a little more energetic, then you could join the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust to watch some wintering birds at the wildlife haven of Fisher's Green in the Lee Valley Park, with its large expanses of reeds beds. The walk's going to be led by Neil Holmes-Smith, who I can tell you is an enthusiastic mine of fascinating information. Now, the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust suggests that you can car share from Welwyn Garden City at 9:30 a.m. or meet at 10 o'clock at the car park at Fisher's Green. The lunch is available at Waltham Abbey. Booking is essential. You have to phone Neil and he's on 01707 324 413. Now, as I said, you can find all the information from today's show on the environment page of the Radio Verulam website, where remember you can always listen to the podcast of this programme or any others that we have done. Now, I'll be back with you as usual next week when I'll be talking about the joys of beekeeping and how it might be something for you to take up in 2018. In the meantime, I'd just like to wish you a very happy and sustainable Christmas. Thank you for listening.